I'm Pat Crawford. I'm the director of the Center for Weight and Health at UC Berkeley. This is the Center for Research, Evaluation, and Policy. And I'm so glad you're all here at the end of the day. And I'm just standing in for Michelle Gillerman, who was stopped. She wrote an email saying, help, Hurricane Sandy is coming. So she didn't come all the way over to do this from the East Coast. So I'm here locally, and with me today is a special gift, somebody I work with, who I started working with when she was at UCSF, the medical center here, as a pediatrician, who actually has turned into the most fabulous public health practitioner. So you'll get the perspective of somebody who's really been there with childhood obesity in the clinical sense and who's moved into a field where we really need clinicians who understand public health and understand the approaches and are making a difference in the prevention of obesity, which will help all the clinicians because they won't be quite so busy. So we have no conflicts or disclosures. And today we're going to tell you the two of us are working on a project. It's a school-based model promoting increased access to nutrient-dense foods and more opportunities for daily physical activity. This program is called the EB4K. It's the Energy Balance for Kids. Now, how many of you are dietitians? Raise your hands. That's another way of getting good exercise. Not many. Okay, wave your hand. Okay, this is a program of the new Academy for Food and Nutrition, their foundation, the old American Dietetic Association. And it's a collaborative model where they bring in physical activity coaches in addition to their RD coaches to provide an intervention that not only has coaching, individual and education, but also some changes to the environment. So we're going to tell you how it developed and we're going to tell you where we are now. So what is EB4K? We call it EB4K, Energy Balance for Kids. It's a comprehensive school-based energy balance program, measures nutrition education, partnered with the physical activity in the classroom, on the playground, in the lunchroom, after school, in the community. And it's really geared towards elementary age children. So the partners here, as I mentioned, are the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics and Foundation and PlayWorks. How many of you have heard of PlayWorks? Great. Okay. You're going to hear more about it. It's a very exciting physical activity partner who's coming into our public health field with a little different focus than so many of us. How many of you are public health nutritionists? More. Okay, slightly more. Okay, so they're coming into our area bringing a little different perspective, and Chris is going to tell you about that. And then this is funded by the Healthy Weight Commitment. So that is a group, a foundation that really is funded by a lot of corporations, some of which are the food industry, some of which are nonprofits, some are physical activity industry corporations, partners. So how did we get here, starting with this program? We began in Iowa and Kansas City in a pilot program. But we found we were in very low-income communities, and we were brought in as the evaluator from UC Berkeley because we've evaluated many different programs in schools. So we went out to Kansas City and Iowa and really collected information and gathered information on what was happening. But there was some problems in expanding the program because there were so many limited resources out there in the very poorest schools. So the funder stayed there for a couple of years gathering some very positive information, but it was a formative evaluation. We learned a lot from it, and we decided to take what we learned, and I'll show you what we learned right here. A lot of it is very positive anecdotal information on nutrition knowledge, attitudes, eating behaviors, and this is what the results were, that we had change in knowledge, which you can get very nicely from many nutrition programs, but we also had from this dietitian coaching in the classroom and in the PE program, we had a positive change in fruits and vegetables, and we went out and we actually measured what the kids were eating on their lunch trays. We had a positive change in water, more water consumption, and lower French fry consumption. We should have given this to the folks when they were writing the specs for, when they were changing the specifications of the new school lunch program, because French fries, of course, were recommended to be a certain amount in the USDA guidelines, and then that amount was increased in the Congress. So results, we showed these changes that I just showed you from the school plates. We measured the kids, what they ate. This really looks awful. And can you, what do you think that is? Oh, it's green beans that we saw the biggest change in. You see the green beans over there? They look kind of black. They're up there in the upper left-hand corner, and you can see the lower when the kids ate them. So I think they were canned green beans to start with, and after the intervention, the kids at least ate them. But this, you know, we showed you a picture because we certainly want you to see the breadth of what's happening. But now with the new school lunch changes, we're seeing more fresh fruits and vegetables, and we're seeing slightly different plates. This was 2008 to 2009. So this particular tray has, I think it's turkey gravy on potatoes. That's what that is, because I know you're curious, chocolate milk, and then kind of a fruit slushy thing, and then green beans. So the kids actually ate more fruits and vegetables afterwards. But the staff really liked it. They liked having help with the kids on nutrition. They loved, you know, having a little input on physical activity. So it was a very positive experience. And we did build some improvements that we learned from this into the new program that we brought out here to California. So we learned that engaging the families and communities would be good, because so they would know more about what the kids were getting. Higher dose and intensity of intervention. One of the things with the physical activity partner we had in Kansas and Iowa was that, you know, they trained the PE teacher in the elementary schools at the beginning of the year, and then some of that was lost over the course of the year. So it was more based on training. Now, in the newest version of the program, we have an active coach in physical activity coupled with an active coach in nutrition. We found that it was very important to identify communities that were ready and willing and interested in doing this. And then we targeted the curriculum based on our information that we gathered in Kansas. And we also targeted our nutrition curriculum using the new 2010 dietary guidelines, which are much stronger with evidence base on what dietary practices make a difference in obesity prevention. And this program is really to provide healthful eating and obesity prevention. So our key target behaviors are increased consumption of fruits, vegetables, non-fat, low-fat dairy, improved snack choices, regular breakfast, decreased consumption of sweetened beverages. That's a new piece that's coming out of the dietary guidelines. Decreased consumption of meals eaten, takeaway meals, so when they're outside of school, fast food, that's coming from the dietary guidelines. Reduced screen time, coming from the dietary guidelines. All of those things, the evidence base is in our dietary guidelines of 2010. So we tried to build this into our program. And we forgot to put on this increased physical activity, which is a big piece of our program. So here's the logic model, and I'm not going to go through it other than to say that we have ultimate outcomes of change in BMI on the green, the big green blob on the right, change in BMI, change in fitness, of course, the intermediate outcomes, just the change in knowledge and behaviors and attitudes. And then the other changes down at the bottom under the blue is changes in disciplinary action, staff attitude changes, school policies which change, school environmental changes. So that we keep building in a little bit more support for this fabulous nutrition education that the coaches are doing. So the nutrition coaches they're trained by the academy. They do interactive activities, lots of nutrition games while the kids are being active, which is really fun. They're integrating what they're doing. They're teaching the activity coaches a little more about nutrition to get the messages coming from the physical activity coach. They're doing cafeteria promotions They're doing hallway announcements, posters, and they're actually, these schools have been improving their offerings, and the schools have been applying also to become part of the U.S. Healthy Food Challenge group, you know, by providing healthier school meals. So now I'm going to turn it over to Chris, who's going to talk a little bit about physical activity, and then we're going to go back and forth just to keep you awake right at the end.
So one of the really most unique aspects of this, and let me just point out that these RD coaches, these registered dietitian coaches who go into school, go in for 1 to 2 days per week for 12 weeks of the school year. 12 weeks, right? Okay. The PlayWorks coach is there every day. So the PlayWorks model is one of the most innovative aspects of this partnership, because PlayWorks is a national organization that's already scaled up. They're in, I think, close to 1,000 schools now. They've been on the ground since 1996 and have expanded. They got a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for $30 million to expand, and they have a goal of being in 26 cities. And my understanding is the 26 is a magic number, because that's how many major league teams there are professionally, because that's what it takes to engage the country and to get the country's interest in something. So they're going for the major league cities. The PlayWorks model was developed specifically around recess. So the number one time in schools that referrals happen, disciplinary referrals, recess. Recess is the number one time that kids get into trouble. And they're fighting because they get into games that don't go so well, and nobody knows who won, but everybody's pretty sure that they won. So the PlayWorks model is to get all the kids engaged in play, but to make sure that it's healthy and happy play. And their idea is that by doing that, not only do they reduce conflict on the playground, they get the kids' energy level down to the appropriate level for learning, so that when they go back to the classroom, they're ready to learn. And, you know, there are some schools that have actually not been exposed to PlayWorks that have decided not to offer recess, because they have a really hard time getting kids engaged in the classroom once again after recess, because the kids come in all hyped up. So that's really the PlayWorks key model. There are a couple of other features. In addition to recess, they also have class game time, which is where the PlayWorks coaches model physical education classes for the teachers. So the teachers get a little professional development on how do you get kids active. Pat gave us a great example of that when she did Simon Says with you. Every one of you got up for that, right? So that's what the PlayWorks coach is trying to do with teachers. Give them some games and some ways of engaging kids where the kids will actually do it. They also have junior coaches, and I'll tell you, sort of skipping ahead to results, one of the most exciting things, or one of the things that schools find most exciting about the PlayWorks program, is this junior coach. So they train kids, often kids who are struggling a little bit or having some difficulties with behavior in school. They train these kids to be junior coaches, to model behavior and to actually help them run recess. And the kids buy into this and take on a leadership role that's pretty amazing. So school staff love this and really value it. They also offer after-school sports leagues. This new partnership takes advantage of the infrastructure that PlayWorks has. So one of the things that happens, and for all of us who've done work, we do really exciting projects that we love. The grant money goes away, and the project dies, right? I mean, this is one of the things that's really difficult about community research partnerships, is often the researcher can bring money, but only for the evaluation period, and then beyond that, you're sort of stuck. So the nice thing about engaging with an existing community-based partner like PlayWorks is that they have the infrastructure to take things like this to scale. And in fact, as I was mentioning before, they really have already taken it to scale. Because they believe that they focus on teamwork and leadership in kids, they really feel like they are promoting positive youth development and using that physical activity as a hook. And in fact, we had published before on the impact on emotional well-being for kids. So kids who are exposed to PlayWorks show improved conflict resolution skills and a greater connection to school. This partnership between PlayWorks coaches, and remember that because PlayWorks has been around since 1996, they've developed an incredible training model for these coaches, and that's being shared with the RD coaches. So there's a shared training that goes on, and then the two coaches who are, you know, in the same schools actually support each other and can reinforce messages, which I think our other presenters have talked about the importance of reinforcing. And I think and then parent outreach. So one of the things that we all know, we can do schools really well, right? We can really make changes in schools. We can make changes in after-school programs. The hardest place to reach is the home. So one of the components of the program as well is doing parent outreach. So through school and community events, newsletters, handouts, and family fun nights. And full disclosure, we did interviews and focus groups with parents this summer to find out what they thought about the program. And I will tell you that the parents actually didn't know that there was a program. So we had very little name recognition. And one of the things that we're working on this year, by the way, did we even say this is a cluster randomized trial? I'm so sorry. So we randomized 4 schools to receive the intervention, and 2 schools are control schools that will get the intervention at the end of 2 years. So they don't have coaches for the first 2 years, but they will at the end of the program. So we're going to try in this second year to make sure that parents actually know that there's something going on at school, because clearly we haven't quite reached them.
So and you stand here.
Okay, I'm going to stand here.
Yeah, it's just a minute.
Okay, so here is just an example of the schools. All of the schools were assisted in making the Healthier U.S. School Challenge and were awarded the bronze medal because the schools that are participating were supported by the RD in the school to help with meeting those guidelines. So that was very exciting. And then the knowledge and attitudes, we just showed an example of what we're testing, that kids are learning about how power pick lunches might include certain foods. So the student surveys collect the information on knowledge as well as attitudes and behaviors. And here's some piece of the behavior that we collect on the survey. And then here's what we do with the pictures. And we did find, now this one looks a little bit better. Those are French fries and cheese and a banana and milk and a burger. Yeah, so we have developed and published a methodology that is really used for better understanding kids, what they actually eat during the lunch period after they've had, been a part of an intervention. So in the past, the nutrition methodologies were very precise. We'd try to measure very carefully, but we really missed a lot of times the actual foods that people were eating. You know, that's where our error was. Now we collect very good information on what's provided to the kids and what they eat, but we do it in a different method where we actually estimate how much they ate, whether they ate a quarter of it, a half of it, three quarters of it, all of it. You know, so we have a scale that we use, but we find for the purposes of better understanding if they're changing their eating patterns, we don't have to go to the level where we used to go with nutrients, because we're more interested now in food-based changes. So I'm going to turn it back to Chris.
Yeah, I knew you should.
So the lunch tray photos that are taken before and after the kids eat their lunch are a way of validating the surveys where we ask kids how much they're eating. For physical activity, it's actually much easier to get objective data because we have the kids wear accelerometers. So they wore accelerometers at baseline, which was last year in the fall, they wore accelerometers for a full week, for 5 days, every school day. They wore them again at midpoint, which was the spring of last year when they'd been exposed to the program for 1 school year, and they just finished wearing them again this fall. So for our physical activity measure, we have a baseline, midpoint, and fall, baseline, midpoint, and sort of final in our second year, as we will for all of our measures, including eating behaviors and the lunch tray photos as well. The primary outcome for physical activity is minutes of physical activity, and we're hoping to see an increase in the number of minutes that kids spend being moderately to vigorously active during the school day. We did just a sneak preview. I'm sure we'll be presenting these next year, the real results, but we did see a small but significant increase over just the first school year in the number of minutes kids were active during the school day of about 5 minutes, which seems small, but is actually what most studies in the school setting are able to show when they show a successful result. So one of the reasons that we need to really make sure we pair interventions alone, you know, one intervention alone, so during the school day alone, I may only be able to move them 5 minutes, but if I can move them 5 minutes before school and 5 minutes after school as well, then I've actually gone some distance towards the goal of 60 minutes a day. We're also doing assessing fitness levels at baseline, midpoint, and follow-up using the 1-mile run. The fitness, of course, as many of you know, is more important in predicting cardiovascular health than fatness. We actually much prefer focusing on being healthy rather than being at a healthy weight, since healthy weight depends on who you are, but we know that fitness matters for everybody. And we are also assessing BMI, again, baseline, midpoint, and follow-up. We have a bit of a process evaluation, so in addition to the hard outcomes that we showed in our logic model, which were BMI and fitness as well as physical activity, we want to figure out if things are happening, what were the things that facilitated great results, and if things didn't happen, if we don't see the results we want, what might have gotten in the way, so what things didn't happen the way that we hoped to. So we'll be doing some school environment change using an environmental assessment tool, which includes looking at the food, nutrition, and physical activity variables related to the school environment. So what's really happening at the district level in terms of PE? For example, teachers sometimes still don't let the kids out for PE as a disciplinary action, which is not one of the things that we want to see, but we need to know whether or not that's happening. And I think I'm going to turn it over to Pat.
No, I think you can.
We're done. Okay.
Yeah, this tells a little bit about the foundation that's supporting this. You can see that they do a website with Together Counts. They support some Girl Scout work. They do a lot of educational materials, and they have 210 active corporate nonprofit members. And here's their website. And with that, we're going to end with the team that's the intervention team as well as the evaluation team. And there's only one mistake on here, Chris Madsen, our STEAM speaker here today, who is filling in, is now with UC Berkeley. So we're very happy about it. So thank you very much. And should we entertain questions, Noelle?
Okay. Good.